Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. So maybe you spent the weekend thinking more about whether Jorge Posada took himself out of the Yankees lineup because he was insulted for being put ninth. But while you may have been playing or paying attention to sports or whatever, there was lots of news over the weekend about the future of the Republican side of the presidential race for 2012. For some reason, when almost no one is home watching the news, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee announced on his Fox show on Saturday night that he would not run for president. Huckabee's decision leaves the presidential playing field wide open. He was definitely an A-lister. It's hard to believe, but the Iowa caucuses are just 9 months away, and Huckabee won them last time around. Newt Gingrich is clearly hoping to take advantage of Huckabee's decision, and on Meet the Press on Sunday, he was speaking out about Republican plans to restructure Medicare. He says they go too far. This is Gingrich talking. Libertarian Ron Paul announced his run for the president last week in addition to Gingrich. But the candidate who many now see as the front runner is the former Massachusetts governor Mitt Romney, who on Friday was left defending the health care plan he helped shepherd into law as governor. And there's still plenty more potential candidates out there who are waiting to hear from. Sarah Palin, Mitch Daniels, Donald Trump. Is he for real? Tim Pawlenty, the former governor of Minnesota, who is running. A lot of people say his stock went up after a good appearance in the first televised debate last week. So joining us to discuss all of this is Glenn Johnson of the Boston Globe, who is politics editor of their website. And, of course, that's the state where Romney used to be governor. Hi, Glenn. Welcome to WNYC. Hello from New York.
Oh, hi, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
We'll leave the whole Yankees-Red Sox weekend aside. I'm just not going there.
I figured you might want to do that.
And let's have a listen, first of all, to Huckabee from his Saturday announcement on his Fox News Channel show.
All the factors say go, but my heart says no. And that's the decision that I've made.
So what was in Huckabee's heart?
Well, I mean, a lot of encouragement, obviously. There was a lot of people and a lot of polling and also just past performance that indicated that he had a shot at being at the top tier of the Republican field this time out. I remember that he really stunned the establishment in 2008 by winning the caucuses and really dealing a body blow to Mitt Romney there. And then subsequent polling had showed him strong, even though he wasn't making a lot of the preemptive moves that Mitt Romney and some of the others were making. So I think that was the part that was getting to his heart. And also just the feeling, too, that, from the soapbox that he uses on Fox News Channel right now, that he had an opportunity to put into practice some of the policies that he espouses in the media environment right now.
You think he was just starting to make too much money and was too comfortable?
Well, have you seen the picture of his house down in Florida?
No.
It's a beautiful oceanside home, and this is a guy that for quite a while...
White House is pretty nice.
That's true. That's true. But the house is being built. The White House was a risk, whether or not he would ever get to live there. I just think that as a governor and his life since, money had been an issue for him, and now through his speeches, through his television contracts and all that, he is making a pretty comfortable living. And he's as much expressed that, admitted that pretty openly, that the financial security that he's gaining would weigh in his decision-making towards a race.
Honestly, I think that's a factor for Sarah Palin, too. I think she likes her life as a media celebrity and thinks that she probably couldn't win the nomination anyway, never mind the presidency, and won't get in for that reason. And she's getting rich.
Well, I think that that doesn't have to be an opinion. It has to just, you just have to look at the, you know, the facts, you know, what she's commanding for a speaking appearance, you know, the success of her books, the television contract that she signed. I mean, none of that was possible without John McCain plucking her from obscurity and making her his running mate. And you have to wonder if that's now starting to factor into the thinking of some other people, you know, Michelle Bachmann or others. They see people who pivot from a political sphere into this media partisan sphere with very lucrative rewards for all of them.
Newt Gingrich made some news over the weekend when he came out swinging against the House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan's plan to restructure Medicare. Let's hear a little of that.
I don't think right-wing social engineering is any more desirable than left-wing social engineering. I don't think imposing radical change from the right or the left is a very good way for a free society to operate. I think we need a national conversation to get to a better Medicare system with more choices for seniors.
Oh, my goodness, Glenn. That's Newt Gingrich calling the Ryan plan to turn Medicare into a voucher system right-wing social engineering.
Yeah, much to the disdain of some of his fellow Republicans. You have Paul Ryan about to go out and talk about his budget plan and try and build support for it. And then you have a prominent Republican just days after announcing he's running for president eliciting a line that could almost come from the Democrats. You know, they probably wouldn't concede the left-wing social engineering part of it, but you know, strong criticism from the left on this plan, and then you have a prominent GOP presidential contender adding his own voice to the criticism.
And to make the segue to Romney, in that interview on Sunday with Gingrich, when asked about health care, he basically came out and endorsed the individual mandate, which is, of course, how the Obama plan is being challenged on constitutional grounds, and which is also in the Romney plan in Massachusetts. David Gregory point blank asked Gingrich if he will use the individual mandate issue against Mitt Romney, and listen as Gingrich says no.
I believe all of us, and this is going to be a big debate, I believe all of us have a responsibility to help pay for health care. I think the idea that
you agree with Mitt Romney on this point.
Well, I agree that all of us have a responsibility to help pay for health care. And I think that there are ways to do it that make most libertarians relatively happy. I've said consistently we ought to have some requirement that you either have health insurance or you post a bond or in some way you indicate you're going to be held accountable.
But that is the individual mandate, is it not?
It's a variation on it. But okay. it's a
so system. You won't use that issue against Mitt Romney?
No, but it's a system which allows people to have a range of choices which are designed by the economy.
All right. Newt Gingrich. That's fascinating to me, both of these positions that he's taking as he's trying to appeal, you know, presumably to the right wing of the Republican Party, people who turn out in primaries.
The Ryan one may be a little bit more volatile because when the Ryan budget came out, Newt Gingrich was asked about it, and he expressed some support for it, said it was a step in the right direction, didn't 100% embrace it. But the mandate one is a little bit more expected in that he is so on the record on this. His support has been so well documented for this concept that, like Mitt Romney, it would be very hard for him to run away from it now, and it would just expose him to the sort of flip-flop political attacks that the Republicans used against John Kerry in the 2004 election. In 1993, Newt Gingrich talked about requiring Americans to buy health insurance, equated it with buying automobile insurance, talked about the idea of using vouchers to help everybody do that. So he was fairly clearly on the record on this whole topic, and to run away from it was going to create, I think, even more problems for his presidential candidacy.
It also helps Obama, you got to think, at the point of whoever gets the nomination next fall, trying to demonize the individual mandate as some kind of radical liberal or socialist scheme when we see Mitt Romney did it in Massachusetts, even though he doesn't think it's the role of the federal government. We see Gingrich has been as sort of an intellectual, policy intellectual on the record for this for many years. You know, it's got to take some of the edge off Obama being so outrageously radical by proposing such a thing.
Well, I think that is the crux of the right concern about a Mitt Romney candidacy. Here you have him in many quarters described as the front runner, even though some polls are all over the map. And yet at the same time, his comments in that speech last week in Michigan were just derided by a lot of the people that you would think were natural supporters. The Wall Street Journal ripped him both the day that he delivered the speech and then the day afterward. And so you get something like what he said, and you get something like what Newt Gingrich said on Meet the Press. And you could take video of both of those appearances where Mitt Romney defends the individual mandate in Massachusetts as good policy, and then Newt Gingrich saying that it's also good policy and everybody has to buy in some ways. And you almost have a 30-second spot in the presidential race right there.
Glenn Johnson, politics editor with the Boston Globe, as we talk about the Republican presidential field. In the polls that I've seen, I think undecided is leading among the Republicans right now. But if anybody listening is likely to vote in the Republican primaries once they come around in whatever state you're in, and has somebody who you are already leaning toward, call us up with it over the next few minutes. I wonder if anybody's feeling strongly enough. Also, besides undecided, the support for people who are in the race tends to be weak. And people who don't feel really strongly about something or someone don't tend to call talk shows. But in case you have, really got the bug now for somebody, whoever it is, 212-433-WNYC. If you're going to vote in a Republican primary and there's somebody who you either really want to get in or they're already in and you can't wait to pull the lever for them, who is that person? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And let's talk more about that Romney speech. I guess he felt the need, because this is such an issue for him among Republicans, to give a speech to try to clarify how he did in Massachusetts almost exactly what Obama is trying to do nationally and yet is running against it. And so on Thursday, he went to a cardiac care facility at the University of Michigan, and he explained some of what he sees as the difference between his health care plan for Massachusetts and Obama's for America.
Our plan was a state solution to a state problem, and his is a power grab by the federal government to put in place a one-size-fits-all plan across the nation. Now, I know that some of my more liberal friends don't find that a very compelling difference. But those of us who believe that the decision to make America a federalist system was not just a throwaway decision, but an important fundamental element of what makes America such a successful nation.
So, Glenn Johnson, I know he downplayed liberals, as he put it, kind of saying that's not so important. But still, is that the only thing that he's saying is different? And when you look at these plans, and you can tell me better, because you're actually in Massachusetts, but the outlines of them seem to be extremely similar on multiple points. Yes, the individual mandate, so if you're not covered at work or otherwise, you have to buy in. Sliding scale subsidies to cover those individuals so they can afford to buy in. Part of the point being that so many people buying insurance will create market pressure to keep the cost of health insurance down, because there won't be so many uninsured people who are being, paid for in a sideways fashion. So how similar, how nearly identical is the Massachusetts plan to Obama's law?
Well, there's some differences on the margins, but I think, you just hit on the core issues. And the reason they are so similar is just because a lot of people think that that's the way it has to work. It's almost contradictory in some schools to sit there and say that you don't believe in the individual mandate, but then you want to enact this kind of a health insurance reform, because there is a mandate almost in this society to cover people who don't have insurance or who get injured. And so there has to also be some other mechanism of trying to require people that can afford insurance to also chip in and contribute to the whole cause. And so that's where Mitt Romney has run into problems. He accepted, surely, what admittedly was a state solution here to solve the problem in Massachusetts, but it was in large measure because he had concluded it was the only practical way to do it. And now he's sitting there and saying on a national level, well, that's fine for Massachusetts, but we're going to come up with some other idea for the country, and you even see that being supported now by Newt Gingrich, that the
and does he have some other idea for the country, or is his idea for the country, as implied by that clip, just to let each of the 50 states set up their own system?
Yeah, he put out a PowerPoint presentation, and he talked about some other ideas that he had for how to roll it out across the rest of the country. But it was much more vague than the concrete solution that he had devised and supported and signed into law in Massachusetts. That's for sure.
Let's take a few phone calls real quick. Harry in Nassau County. Hi, Harry.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Who are you enthusiastic about?
Well, I would like to be enthusiastic about any Republican, but I was leaning towards Romney. But after hearing the interview with David Gregory on Meet the Press, I was really quite taken by Newt Gingrich. Before the interview, I thought he was like yesterday's news. I thought, the baggage, this, that, and the other. But David Gregory, in my opinion, did not give him softball questions, and I think Newt Gingrich acquitted himself marvelously. And I think that in further forthcoming interviews, I can see him doing quite well.
Thank you very much. Anne in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Anne. Who are you interested in?
Trump. And I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a lawyer. He's not an academician who is completely balled up with the theory instead of practice. He's a real down-to-earth businessman. And not only that, I think I would step up and collect signatures or do whatever I would have to do for him.
Thank you, Anne. Sarah in Fairfield County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sarah. Who are you enthusiastic about?
I'm enthusiastic about Romney.
Because?
Because I love that he comes from the private sector, but he also has political experience. He's done wonders at Bain, the Salt Lake City Olympics, Massachusetts, and I feel like he's running for the correct reasons, and I feel like right now this economy needs someone who knows how to turn the economy around.
Thank you very much. So, Glenn Johnson, before you go, I think we should mention Paul Lente. I watched the first Republican hopefuls debate. I realize it wasn't the full field. Romney and others didn't participate, but I thought Paul Lente did very well in terms of looking like, a serious guy presenting his experience as a governor and his policy positions in a kind of a meaningful way. And I think from a standpoint of political analysis, he did better than Romney did in a speech last week, distancing himself from a former position that he would like to run away from, which was his support for cap and trade. He said, I just got it wrong in the past, and he's changing. Now, that may not be completely satisfying either, but I don't know. How do you read the Polanyi situation?
Well, I saw him speak a couple weeks ago at the same forum that Mitt Romney spoke at up in New Hampshire, and he carried himself and presented himself quite well. He speaks in a very easygoing fashion. He talks about his blue-collar upbringing and did, I don't know what would be more than a mea culpa. I don't know how you like with mea culpa with a double exclamation point over his prior support for the regional greenhouse gas initiative, the cap and trade system. And just basically, laid it out to the people there, said, I made a mistake there. And whether or not you agree with that, at least he made his break with his past crystal clear to these people and didn't try and run and hide from it. And afterwards, did a lot of the sort of grassroots campaigning that endears himself to people in some of those early going states. I mean, here's a Minnesota governor who's going to be very close to Iowa, and then in New Hampshire, spent about 45 minutes afterwards shaking everybody's hands. Mitt Romney was out the door the second it was over. Now, Romney doesn't have to get his name recognition out there like a Pawlenty does, but Pawlenty did the grassroots work and is doing it and has a pretty good team around him, too. He's a first-time candidate, but he's got a veteran team around him already.
All right. Well, here's the most unusual segue we'll probably make on the show this week. Another issue that Newt Gingrich has spoken about? Spending less money on prisons. And our next guest is going to be the legendary political activist Angela Davis to talk about the new coalition forming around her longtime issue, which is prison reform. So Angela Davis and Newt Gingrich on the same side. We'll talk about that coming up next. Glenn Johnson, political editor for the Boston Globe's website. Thank you so much for talking with us about the Republican field.
You're welcome. Good to be with you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Yes, Angela Davis next.